Well, welcome to episode 10 of Joke Artists. We are your hosts. I'm Ryan Dever.
And I'm Jason Katz. Ooh. And we've made it to 10.
We've made it to 10, and everybody knows once you make it to 10, you never make it again.
Yep. We basically hit Joe Rogan / Mark Maron fame at this point on episode 10.
Yeah.
So this will definitely be our retiree episode, even though we have other episodes that we have recorded with guests. We won't be airing those because
right.
we will be signing a new lucrative deal with Universal Studios and other big names and like Fox and stuff because they're getting into podcasts now.
Yeah. Well, they signed us to Universal Studios Park. We're going to be running the rides.
We'll be on the rides. We'll be handing out masks.
Yeah.
That's our job basically.
Remember that Jaws ride that they shut down? We're going to be in that.
Yeah. We're the new Jaws. I'm part mechanical, so Ryan will be controlling me through different mechanics that he's been learning over the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
He has a mechanical engineering degree in shutdown rides.
Yep.
And so I've been working on, you know, becoming part bionic and part machine, and it's really been tough on my butt. There's been I've lost way too many screws, but I feel good. All right, well, welcome to episode 10.
Well, welcome. When we would love to start off by telling you about the Interrobang Best of Everything in Comedy Awards 2020. So these just came out, I think, last month. They probably came out before the new year, I'd imagine. But
yeah, I can't remember when they came out. But, really cool website that's all about comedy, I believe, and TV and movies and stand-up.
Yeah, and they had a list of, you know, all these categories of the best comedy album, etc. And funny enough, for stand-up special of the year, three of the specials that were nominated were specials that we worked on. Which is really wild, really cool.
Yeah, really strange too, because you know everything we usually touch turns to poo.
Right.
So we were really shocked, literally actually shocked, because we don't have our computers aren't grounded. So mm-hmm. when we went onto them, went on the website and touched our mouse, we got this big electric shock.
Yeah. Right.
Wow. But once we got out of the hospital, we were able to read the website, and we were like, "Wow, this is awesome!" Because Mark Normand's, Sam Morell's, and Joe List's special. Which was really cool. You know, we got to be a part of all three of those. And then, to put the cherry on top, if you like cherries, the winner of, what is it, stand-up special of the year, right?
Yeah, for 2020.
Is Ryan?
Whoa. Me? No.
You open the envelope.
Uh-oh, paper cut. No, it
Ryan was plastic.
It was... It was Mark Normand, Jay. Mark Normand. He won.
Yeah, if he was here, he'd go, queef.
Yep. He'd throw a couple queefs in there in his acceptance speech.
From his actual mangina.
Right. Right.
But, which was pretty awesome. I got to cut that special, which was really fun. Great guy, sweetheart, real nice guy. I mean, this guy, he's very good. Good kisser, too.
Expand on that. No, but I mean, that must have been pretty wild. I know when we had Mark on, you guys talked about working together, and obviously you've known Mark for a number of years, but that's got to be kind of cool that after all this time, you worked together and, you know, he wins this award and it was something you actually got to be a part of.
Yeah, and it was a lot of fun. It was really cool. I mean, I loved that special and I loved cutting it. And the process cutting it was actually fairly easy because I know him so well and I know his mannerisms, his stand-up and all that other stuff. So basically the way that thing worked was, you know, they gave me all the footage, obviously. I made a rough cut of it. Submitted it to him. We went back and forth a little bit. You know, I'd give him another cut. You know, hey, maybe change this around if you want. Blah, blah, blah. This, change this. You know, and it was fairly simple. I don't remember how many revisions we had of it, but it wasn't many. And the best part is that collaborating with Mark, he's so like on board to do fun stuff and funny things, whatever he thinks, you know, will work. And we had this idea to do this like, you know, fake movie trailer. And I've always wanted to do this, and we Brian and I have done these in the past and things like that, I think. And, you know, and just doing them for sketches and stuff like that, like fake trailers. And we got to do like a fake trailer for his promoting his special, which was a lot of fun. And then, I just did the voiceover for it, where we were just coming up with different things of networks who had turned him down because fake networks and then real networks who he had gone to that really turned him down, that didn't want the special for some reason. So I forgot how it went, but it was something like, you know, like Netflix, Showtime. I don't know. We did a whole bunch of things and said like they all didn't want him or whatever. I forgot how it goes. And then, you know, we did the thing and, you know, we released it for free and people really took a liking to that trailer, which was cool. It got a lot of views on there and it was just really fun to do this and sort of be honest while joking around because people really didn't want to buy the special. And I think at this point, I forgot how many views it has, but I think it was
over 5 million. Like
over 5 million at this point. That's crazy. Yeah. I mean, that's what the wild part is that those, you know, Amazon and Netflix and all these things really did turn him down. It's over 5 million, and this is just from YouTube.
Yeah.
You know, from his YouTube channel, and he didn't even have a tremendous amount of subscribers at that point. He's got a ton now, which is awesome, but that's the wild part because if it was on one of these services, you know, who knows even how many would have, you know, potentially less, who knows, but it probably would have had even more. And that was the really cool part about it is it really felt like a collaboration of putting this thing out, not his comedy special, but I mean like of the trailer aspect and just working together. That's what's cool. It's working with Mark isn't like, do this kid and shut your mouth. You know, well, he did tell me that many times, but
yeah.
You know, it's, hey, what you think we should do this and be like, oh yeah, let's try it. And then we would try it and, see if whether that worked or not. And it was just fun. The fun part I remember is coming up with different places that turned them down. Like we were like, all right, should we do Pornhub?
Yeah.
Should we do BET? Should we do Animal Planet? You know,
it is so funny that, you know, Mark's, Sam's, Joe's all made the list all free. You know, of all
right.
Those, I think Louis was also nominated, but I think he charged like $8 if you wanted to buy it or whatever. But
yeah,
you know, those three specials, all free, ended up being nominated, and the free Mark's, you know, the free special ended up winning. So it just kind of says a lot about the direction that stand up is at least moving and how we're consuming it.
Right, 100%. And that's what's so cool is that it was free, but at this point, he would have made his money back most likely from doing it because of the views and everything like that. And that's where you go, wow, you know, it's not going to hurt to have a big production company behind it, but
yeah.
But if you're good enough and you have your own good enough following from like, you know, social media and just, and all that other stuff, it's possible that you can make your own career like that. Where, you know, in the old days, it might be like, you know, you need to get on the Tonight Show with like Johnny Carson and do a set. And then you were like, whoa, now I'm going to get my own TV show. But now
yeah,
it's like
the only way,
you know, I have 10 million followers on Instagram. And then, you know, suddenly then you're, you know, in the next movie with Hugh Laurie and you're shining his shoes as an extra, but you're in the movie. No, but you know what I mean? Then you know, you have a TV show or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of funny. Also, another special that's on the list though was Tim Heidecker. His was also on YouTube for free. And this is a guy who, you know, came from a network, you know, it's
right. I mean, he's got so many shows, him and, you know, Tim and Eric and their regular show and their bedtime stories, so many different shows, and they're just so funny and strange and bizarre and weird.
In the best way possible, yeah.
But we were both talking about this special because it was just, I mean, I thought, and I think you thought too, that it was just so damn funny because it's a parody of like a Bill Hicks in a way. You know, it's a parody of a stand-up special. It's just so good because it's so bad.
Yeah, and that's what's so funny. I remember when I first saw that he had a stand-up special coming out, my first thought was like, oh, this is so weird because, you know, usually when you see someone do a special, it's them. Like, you know, you finally hear them. You know, people have a shtick or whatever, but usually you're hearing them as they are. And I just thought it'd be so weird to hear him as like speaking as himself and telling jokes. And then I was so pleasantly surprised when it was a complete spoof and it's just hitting every beat of every cliche of a stand-up special. And he just is so good at it. And, you know, aside from the three specials that we just talked about, Sam Morril's, Joe List, and Mark Normand's, which we all love the most.
Wow.
But Tim's, if you haven't seen that either, you have to go see this thing. It is absolutely hilarious. It's like, again, along with Sam, Joe's, and Mark's specials, it's like you watch it and you're like, damn it. Like, I wish I thought of this.
Yeah.
And that's what's so much fun about it. And every good comedy special, and that's what it should do. It should inspire you to make you feel like, damn it, I wish I did that. I wish I thought of that. And I remember you saying that it was almost something that you've always wanted to do, right?
Yeah, it was 100% absolutely of stuff that I've always wanted to do. And like, you know, I get here and there, I want to do stand-up, but I just, you know, I never do it. But I've tried it, but not in the sense of clubs. I can't remember where I've tried it. Like, you know, like in school when you're at like talent shows and things like that.
You never inhaled.
What's that?
You never inhaled. You tried it, but you never inhaled.
Yeah, I always just kept it in my mouth. And I would never tell the joke. I would always, I would think it and I would hold it in my mouth and then I wouldn't speak it. and that's, so that's in the technical sense. I've never said, done comedy. No. But so the thing is that, yeah, that special, I mean, it was just so damn funny. And first of all, I never know when Tim Heidecker does a project. I never know if it's going to be a character or if it's going to be actually Tim Heidecker.
Right.
I don't know even at this point. I don't even know him, actually, at this point, like, who he really is. I mean, granted, I haven't listened to his podcast. I'd like to, but I haven't. So I don't know who he is. And I'm sure on that podcast, that's probably him. But even when I would watch like some of his IG lives and I'm like, is this him or is this a character? Like, you know, I would always wonder.
He kind of has an Andy Kaufman vibe in that way, right?
You really
don't know him.
Yeah. And it's just so funny. And that my favorite part is in the special, and I'm going to give something away because I don't care. And my favorite part of the special is when he flips out. He just gets so mad. Was it when he gets mad at the audience?
The whole beginning, he gets, it's his intro. He flips out on everybody.
The music won't cut off. I won't stop.
He can't, he can't get the microphone in the mic stand.
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh. And that was something I was like, oh, my God. Like,
I think it's the first 3 minutes.
Things like that. Like, that was so funny to me. And then when Tom Green used to have the Tom Green Show and he was doing an episode on a cruise and this was all real, and he said, let's put butter on the waiter, everybody. And the waiter, you know, was not in on it. It was, you know, a cruise, and there was a restaurant inside. And he's like, all right, let's butter the waiter. And this guy's like, what the hell is happening? And everyone's taking their little, like, sticks of butter that you get at a diner, and they're just putting it on the waiter.
Because they think he's rubbing it on his
bald head and just rubbing it on him.
Oh, my God.
And I remember hearing about that after, you know, all behind the scenes and him saying, yeah, I had no idea what was happening. I didn't know what was going on, but it was so abstract and stupid comedy that would be coming from a stand-up because he was pretending to do stand-up on stage. And it reminded me of the Tim Heidecker, reminded me of that bit when he did it. And those were two things that I was like, oh, man, these are so parody of stand-up.
Absolutely. And again, if you're looking for specials, if you don't know what to watch to make you laugh, obviously you could look up that Tom Green sketch, but go to interrobang.com and look up this list of the finalists. At least you could look up all the nominees. I mean, they're all so funny. And again, Mark Normand, Joe List, Sam Morril, each of their specials are incredible, and they're all so different. And obviously,
they're all available on YouTube,
and they're all free. Yeah, so you could watch four specials for the price of zero.
Yeah, $0. Actually get money if you watch them.
Well, I guess technically speaking, you have to pay for internet and then a computer. So actually, this is going to be really expensive for you if you have none of those things.
Ooh, yeah, we didn't think about that. Well, you could borrow a phone, someone's phone, watch it on there, as long as right. they have unlimited, you know, service.
Yeah, but then if they don't, you got to convince them to pay for it. So that's it's going to cost somebody else some money.
Yeah, or you know, if you have an elderly person around still in your family, like a grandmother or grandfather, you know, say, you know, hey, grandma, you should go get yourself a phone. She's like, oh, well, Bobby, I don't really need it. You know, I'm using a landline. And then, you talk her into getting it and she gets it. And then basically that phone's yours. You keep telling her week by week that you're, you know, installing apps for her and you're going to, tell her how to fix it and set it up. And before you know it, you're at her funeral and the phone's yours.
Yeah.
So,
but then you got to pay for the funeral.
What's that?
Then you got to pay for the funeral, though. So this is getting
out
of paying.
You take your potty, you throw it into the ocean. Give back.
Oh, really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Just throw roll bones into the ocean, huh?
Yep.
I want to get a look at this dead grandmother.
Yeah, roll her old bones over here. But you don't, and not a bay or a lake or something like that. I'm talking about the ocean. It's gonna be a lot of work to get a corpse to the ocean because, you know, you're dragging it through the beach probably and all that stuff. And you got to drag it up pretty far so it doesn't wash back onto shore.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, to get that free phone, it's going to be worth it.
And again, that's interrobang.com. The Interrobang. I'm sorry. That's TheInterrobang. It's like, it sounds like it's a bad website. Every time I type it in, I'm like, what's going to pop up here? Interrobang. Yeah. I don't know why we're promoting them so much. Oh, speaking of promoting, this episode of Joke Artist is brought to you by Free Prints. Think about it. You've got some great photos on your phone, but what are you doing with them? If you don't have Free Prints yet, you gotta get it! Free Prints is a free app for your iPhone and Android that lets you print all of those photos for free. You get 1,000 free 4x6 photo prints a year. And all you pay is a small shipping charge.
Ooh.
Small, guys. We're talking small here. You could even print photos at other sizes for next to nothing. Notice how specific that is.
Next to nothing?
So listen to that. Small shipping charge and next to nothing prices. All you have to do is select the photos you want to print, choose the sizes, and you're done. Your premium quality prints will arrive on your doorstep in just days. So again, to recap, you're paying a small shipping charge. You're also paying next to nothing, and it'll arrive in just days. It doesn't get more specific than that.
Amazing. Next to nothing was the shirt my mom would always put on when we took pictures together. Now that I think about it, that was quite mean of her. But either way, Free Prints is one of the world's most favorite apps, if you didn't know that. You download it now at freeprints.com and start enjoying real professional quality free prints. No subscriptions, no commitments, just like that relationship you're in. Just Free Prints. Again, go to freeprints.com to get the app and your 1,000 free prints. And if you do print 1,000 pictures, we think you're pretty disgusting because that is way too many. That is way too many pictures to print.
I guess if I had this, I would just open up my camera roll and just print all of them.
Oh yeah, absolutely. All the screen grabs of the memes.
Yeah, all the pictures of me. I would print out all the pictures of me trying to see if I have a bald spot yet. You know, when you flip the camera to the front.
You got
to
put up real high.
Flip the camera to the front and you put it above your head.
Yeah.
You're like,
yeah. Hopefully you make a flip book and, the beginning looks just like the end. You know, nothing happens there.
Freeprints.com. All right. We're going to shift gears a little bit. Jason and I are going to introduce a new segment that we call Complaints of the Week.
Yes, and we're spelling that W-E-A-K because we are very weak, these are our complaints.
Yeah, just like the song Flavor of the Week, you know how they smartly reworded it to not weak, but W-E-A-K.
Did they do that?
Yeah, Flavor of the
Week. She paints her nails.
She don't know.
She's got her boyfriend on the phone. She washes her butt in her dirty socks in her mom's sink.
I think that's part of the original
lyrics.
That's
my first complaint of the week, is that the lyrics were not that.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to talk to American Hi-Fi, was it?
Yeah, American Halfway.
I'm going to write them a complaint of the week tweet, and if I know them as well as I think I do, which I don't know, I'm sure they will block me.
Yeah, you're pre-blocked.
Yes, I'm looking them up now. Yep, it says you've been blocked by them and PBS.
It's because all those dark
those tote bags,
Mr. Rogers,
got away
shows
with.
You illegally recorded.
Well, I would always say I was giving them a large donation, get the tote bag, and then cancel my credit card.
Right, right, yeah, you can't do that.
Yeah, I have so many totes now. Totes for totes.
Totes.
Totes for totes.
Totes for totes for totes.
That's a new bag company that I'm opening up in San Diego.
Totes for totes?
Yeah, it's where basically I just get people's tote bags.
You start a whole, like, you know, society where people pay, that's your money is tote bags, so it's tote for tote. So you're just like, how many totes is that? I don't know, two totes.
Okay, you go. Two fabric totes. There you go.
Barter with totes.
Yeah, and I start paying with it. It's become my currency.
But
just tote bags.
But you keep a normal size cash register, so you
jamming tote bags.
You have like a plunger, and it's like, all right, one second, I'll be right with you.
I want to check how many totes you need. I got to be honest with you, honey. This tote's got a lot of crumbs in the bottom of it. I mean, did you take this tote and, you know, put it inside out and shake it out, because it doesn't look like it, and you know I don't appreciate that. Clean your tote bag before you're gonna barter with me. I'll still take it, but this ain't no totes for totes.
This tote looks like the inside of a Toyota Sienna driven by a soccer mom. You got crumbs all over the place. You got a French fry here. You got old milk. What the
There's
hell are you
a
doing?
Shoe in here. I mean, what is this? You telling me that
shoe.
Somebody somewhere has only got one shoe?
Is that what you're telling me? Get out of here. And everybody's really tough. Like the price might be like two totes, three totes. But if they don't even like you, then you don't, then no, it's, you're not getting anything.
They're like, if I don't like them, wait, they don't like me. So it's, they are now bartering with their own totes too.
Yeah. It's just even by sight. It's like the MTV show Next. You come in the store like clink, clink, clink. And they should be like, nah.
Oh, wow.
No.
Wait, I come into the store?
Yeah, and I'm the guy that works there, and I go, no.
So you're saying that I go into like a deli that somehow you operate, and you're aware of the situation that I barter for sandwiches with tote bags.
Well, I'm aware of it because I'm in the society with you that accepts and deals with the tote bags.
Oh,
because
I thought you said that I had a tote shop and I was shoving tote bags into my own register.
Yeah, because tote bags are money in this.
Oh, in this whole world.
In this whole world, tote bags are money. So it's tote for tote. So you're exchanging totes for totes. Hand over tote.
Gotcha. And then, but it's also MTV Next rules, you're saying,
you
where
can be as brutal
I
as
can
that.
Walk into a store and people go, nope, and they just, I'm out.
Well, think about it. You see somebody's tote bag, if it looks like shit, you're like, no.
Yeah. When you see someone's tote bag, what I look for is, I don't want frayed corners, and I don't want like dirty bottoms. I want a clean, I want to know that tote bag may or may not have touched the ground. Like, I want to figure that out and think that it possibly didn't touch the ground. Like, it was always on your shoulder or you were holding with your hand. I don't want to know that you've like placed it on the dirty subway ground, or you had to put it on the ground when you were looking for your keys to get into your apartment. Like, I don't want that. I want a good clean tote, as Judge Mills Lane would say.
And you have that right.
I believe he said that before every fight.
I want a clean tote.
Holyfield. He's like, I want a good clean tote.
And then they got tote bags over their fists.
Like, this is beautiful. And I think that's where they also stored Evander Holyfield's ear. I believe Mike Tyson spit it out into the tote. And he's like, look, guys, I love totes.
And that's why they couldn't stop the fight. It's because they were trying to ring the bell, but they had a tote instead of, you know, like little hammer thing. So the bell wasn't ringing.
It was just a tote bag they were banging on. It was making like a kind of a hitting a fabric noise. Nobody could hear it.
Yeah. They're like, wow, is the fight over?
That was a poor choice for replacing the bell with that bag. I think that's what really took me out of boxing that year.
Yeah.
Don't get me started on
basketball. Oh, God. Basketball is ridiculous. They replace all the nets with tote bags, so you win by making one shot.
Yeah, it goes right into the tote. And the only thing is, and the tote isn't even spread open. It's still like kind of closed, like a half an eye.
Right.
And it has to, you have to, it's half more of luck that, you know, you can make the shot, but it's got to slide its way into the bag. And then the only cool part about it, though, I do like is once you make a shot, you get to zip the bag up and take the ball home with you.
Yeah.
That's
it almost
cool.
becomes like a bowler, a bowling ball bag, you know?
But yeah, for it kind of is that. What was wild is when they had those, that big controversy when the tote bags were zipped and the overhead camera didn't catch it. And they were just, you know, they were hit the tops of the bags. People weren't scoring for hours. And it wasn't until one of the refs went up there and he was like, hey, this tote, it's closed.
Yeah, that was pretty funny because the players had to lift up the ref like a child up over their heads.
And they lifted him up by his balls. It was more of a toss, though. They didn't really fully lift
him. They're lifting him up. They're like, what do you see? He's like, put me down. Come on, what do you see? Is the ball in tonight? And then they had to grab the next ref. He's like, oh, no, please.
And then they went through about 30 refs before they found this guy with just unbelievable stretchy nuts. And he went into the Guinness Book of World Records after that for quickest death.
He went into the Guinness tote.
Yeah, now he's on the face of Guinness's tote. So if you get a Guinness World Record tote, he is now the face of it. It's a face of him in pure agony, but he looks pretty good. Like, they did a little bit of Photoshop work on his...
Right. They airbrushed him.
On his dead eyes. Because he was... It was when they got the actual photo, he was dead at that point.
That's like in Blade Trinity when they had to CGI Wesley Snipes' eyes to be open because he refused... I'm not even joking anymore. Because he refused to open them.
What? Was he like pulling a baby thing? Like, no, I'm not opening my eyes. You aside can film all you want.
Aside from tax evasion, that's one of the reasons why he like stopped being asked to do movies because he was acting like
he would only open his eyes. Explain that more. He was on set and they were filming the scene. Said no.
And he was like filming the scene and they wouldn't. He just wouldn't comply with being like awake.
Oh my gosh!
So they CGI'd his eyes open, and he would only respond to like you could only call him Blade. Like, you couldn't say, hey, Wesley, like, come on, we got to do this.
Well, you did that at work that time for a good month where you were like, call me Blade.
And we were like,
we're not doing it.
Yeah, but I was surprised how many people did call me Blade.
Yeah, well, eventually we had to give in.
Yeah.
Plus, when you learned how to figure skate, we were like, I guess Blade does kind of fit him. He's got those.
Yeah, that's what I was saying the whole time. Everyone was like, you're not Wesley Snipes. I'm like, no, come see me on Saturday afternoon.
Right. But Saturday afternoon, we did come see you, and you were just on a carpeted auditorium, and you were just ruining the rug with the ice skates you were wearing. And we were like, what's happening? And the owner was like, hey, get off my property. Who are all these people? And you were like, call me Blade, you son of a bitch.
Yeah.
And then I think what happened to that guy?
I think he still works there.
Oh, all right. Well, that's good. Yeah. So he's got a job, you know, especially in this current climate.
Yeah.
But I'll call you Bladed now if you want.
That'd be cool.
All right.
But Bladed. Yeah, so complaint of the week here.
All right.
Yeah.
My complaint is we go on too many rants.
Yeah, no, but I think that's fine. Yeah, again, no one's listening. Did you want to start with your complaint or should I start with my complaint of the week? What do you got?
Well, sure. My complaint of the week is that I'm finding less to complain about. No, my complaint of the week is that these movie delays. This is my thing is that, I don't know if you remember, I had just asked you maybe like a week ago, what's with it? I said, hey, whatever happened to Top Gun 2 and A Quiet Place, the squeakquel? And I was like, what happened to these movies? Because when you drive into... Manhattan, folks who don't know it, when you drive your car into Manhattan, there's a big poster and it's still there. And this is January. It's a big poster for A Quiet Place 2, the squeakquel, and it's right there. and it's there. I'm like, I don't understand. It says some other date when it was supposed to come out, I think, or coming soon or something like that. And if you pass by any movie theater in Manhattan, also, all the old posters are still up from when they were supposed to come out, like, you know, Top Gun and all the summer movies and all those things. It's like they're sitting in time. Same thing if you go past Gotham Comedy Club. Sam Morrell actually is on the thing. It still says that from his March, when he was supposed to appear there in March, last March. And it's still there, stuck in time too, which is kind of cool to see. I mean, not, you know, I'd rather the club open, but you know what I'm saying? It's just kind of cool to see stuff stuck in time. But my thing was, I was like, what the heck happened to these movies? And I keep trying to search to watch them. And you told me that they didn't come out.
Yeah,
and
I was they keep like, pushing what? The release date. Yeah. So Quiet Place, I just looked it up. The second one is supposed to come out in April 23rd of this year.
And believe it or not, they just talked about Top Gun 2 today. Literally today, I was Googling it. And you told me, I forgot what you told me, but I was like, whoa. And they now are thinking about delaying it more along with Ghostbusters because the theaters. And I was like, what are they talking about? I don't know if the theaters, I know the theaters, I believe they're open in other parts of the country and stuff like that. I'm pretty sure, right?
Yeah, they're scattered.
Right, you know, but I know the two main places, like, I'm sorry, two big, you know, entertainment places, I guess, right? Manhattan and New York City, you know, and Los Angeles, the theaters are closed, both of those places. So those, I assume, draw in a lot of watching. I don't know if they're, you know, bigger than the Midwest. I have no idea. But the thing is that I'm kind of like, hey, why are they waiting on these movies? That's what I don't get. I get the point of, all right, we want people to get that theater experience.
Well, they have contracts with the theaters, too, for the release.
And so is that it?
Yeah, because I think and I'm no,
human?
I'm no man here. No, well, I'm more, I guess, jokes, but...
I'm more jokes than man.
I'm more jokes than man, baby.
That's what happens every time you take your shirt off and your girlfriend's like, oh my God, you're more jokes than man.
Yeah, it's just all pieces
I'm
of little
I'm not turned
paper.
On whatsoever, but I really want to laugh.
All pieces of paper with terrible jokes start falling off my skin.
Yeah, like, all index jokes. Cards and ripped receipts with half-written jokes.
But I think that was the thing. It was that, you know, there's like a code of like, all right, you release at these theaters, and then after a certain amount of time, it becomes available on demand. And now that's changing, that they're just going on demand. And so theaters just don't have a shot. It's like, it's over.
Right. There was a big thing. I can't remember who it was, but, you know, said they were going to release all these movies. But the thing
Warner
is that...
Brothers.
Oh, it was Warner Brothers. Okay.
I think all of Warner Brothers' catalog is going to HBO Max.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, and I don't know whether I agree or disagree with that, but the whole thing is that, I mean, you know, me personally, I'm not comfortable going into a theater anytime soon because theaters to me, and I don't mean to shit on theaters, but theaters to me, majority of the ones that I would go to, besides like those private kind of ones, weren't very clean to begin with. Like when I would go in there, you know, you'd be stepping on fucking... you know, tons Mice. Of Skittles and blood and, you know, who knows what. And that was the stuff I had brought in.
Well, yeah, you would always come after surgery.
Yeah, be like, well, because I like to treat myself, you know. Right, I get a little surgery and then I come in there and I'm like, hey, let's sit, you know, why heal? Why might as well watch a movie? I turn my machines down a little bit so the beeping's not too loud for the people next to me. And I'm like, hey, I'm going to enjoy a movie. Pass the popcorn, you pig. I usually call whoever's sitting next to me a pig, and they're so insulted that they throw their popcorn at me, and that's how I get it for free. Little life hack. But that's the thing is that, so to me, it wasn't that clean. And it's not even the theaters that I don't find not that clean, really. It's the people, obviously. Like, I don't trust people to be clean because they needed to be told to wash their hands at one point. We ran out of soap, and I was like, what the heck were you doing before that? So it's really the people, but you know, some people feel comfortable that's totally fine. But I'm like, so these movies are just shelved, just sitting there.
Well, yeah, that's because nobody's going to be comfortable to go, even if this summer they open up theaters. People are not going to be
this summer.
Like,
do
let's
you
go.
Like do risk your life to see a movie so old in the making? Tom Cruise is no longer alive. But the thing is that it's just weird because so Top Gun. I think you're a big fan of that movie. I believe so.
I am, yes.
So you're a big fan of that movie. And, you know, it's been a billion years since that first one came out. And they're like, we're making another one. And people are like, whoa, no way. And then they're like, but we're going to hold off now. Like, they've already held off for years. The movie's done, I think. And if if this contract thing isn't a thing, I'm sure there's some sort of loophole. I'm like, release the damn thing. I don't know how you feel about it. How do you feel about it? Do you think that you want them to wait until people feel safe, or do you want to just see it?
I don't know. Again, because I don't know all the inner workings of it, so I don't know who. I think a lot of people would suffer from it being just released on demand. I would think.
Suffer?
Yeah, I think a lot of people, like, just losing money.
Oh, you know? Money loss. I thought you meant like the viewers would suffer. Yeah. Like, I'm not seeing it in Dolby Digital. Yeah, like,
I want I that guy to call this. Me a pig again.
Yeah, well,
I want that fucking pig to call me a pig again.
Yeah. Where's that guy?
Mom, get the guy. I'll call him right now.
I can't watch a movie with a tossing my popcorn out at a guy who just got out of surgery.
I mean, again, I don't want to just say information about this because I clearly don't know enough about it, but yeah. I will say that you have probably the worst luck with movie theaters. I think that's why you don't... I mean, I know you love movies and you like the idea of going, yeah. but I think you have the worst luck going to the movies. I think that one of the last times I went with you, we went to Alamo Drafthouse and you got...
Yes.
A bowl. I mean, a bowl. These things that they give you when you get like a popcorn, it's one size. It's like a dish. Like
this is massive. Like, have you ever seen any cooking show ever where somebody has to? It's the bowl that's stored under a table during a cooking presentation that they have to store, like, you know, all the meat for the village in, and they serve you this massive popcorn at Alamo Drafthouse. And I love Alamo Drafthouse.
Yeah. But they don't love you because you asked for no butter and then we got this sopping wet bowl.
Oh yeah.
I eat with a spoon. Sloshing around.
I asked for a wooden spoon. I said, "Can you spank me with this and I'm going to also use it to eat the popcorn?"
Yeah. I think you sent it back and you asked, you said, "Please just no butter at all." And they said, "Okay." And I think they gave it back with even more more butter.
The bottom was legit when I got to the bottom. Well, not the bottom, sorry. When I got midway, it was so soggy. Then I was like, what the hell is this? And it doesn't make sense to me because I know it's not pre-made with butter. And I'm like, can I get butter on the side or something? Even though I don't want that, but they're like, oh, you can't do that. Like, and I'm like, all right, fine. You can't do that. Just put no butter on it then. I don't want any butter because I am the opposite of obviously somebody who likes butter on their popcorn. I know you like butter on your popcorn and most people do, but I like
that.
I like drizzled butter or sprays of butter on my popcorn. I don't like it where it's literally sitting in a bowl of butter. Like, basically, it would have been like, oh, can I get a bowl of butter and just top it off with some popcorn? Like, that's almost what it seemed like I asked for. But that's also the same thing with people in cereal. Like, they like sometimes people like their cereal soaked in milk. Crunchy. I like crunchy cereal with a little bit of milk. I don't like too much milk. I don't like where you put the milk in and the cereal starts to sway like it's on a cruise ship. You know, I don't like that. I like it where
you like your food to stay put.
Yeah, I like it how it's supposed to be, and that's what I think. I think transforming it. Like, I also don't like dunking cookies in milk. Like, I'm like, no. Like, I like the cookie how it was meant to be in the factory. Like, not a step by step process. There's nowhere on the Chips Ahoy box where it says, "Well, step one, pull cookie out. Step two, dunk it in this." You know, you're like, what? There's instructions on how to eat this? No, there isn't. That doesn't exist. That's a thing that we made up. So that's a big difference of dunking cookies in milk versus dipping fries in ketchup.
Right.
I'm pro dipping in ketchup, but I'm not pro dunking your cookies in milk.
Yeah. I mean, the funny thing is you ate all the popcorn.
Oh, yeah. Well, every last bit of it. And I also slurped the butter up like it was a bowl of ramen.
You slurped it, and then you did like that cartoon. Like if Scooby-Doo had whipped cream all over his face, you made your tongue go up and around.
Yeah,
and then
fully
you started
licked around the bowl.
And we're mid-movie, mind you. And then you slammed the dish down. It goes ting-ling-ling-ling.
Yeah,
and then you started slapping your stomach.
So long.
You started slapping your stomach like this one. Oh, yeah. Come on, baby. Anybody try the popcorn? And then we got thrown out.
Yeah, it was great. But the way they threw us out was amazing because they threw us out through the kitchen. So I just got scoops and scoops of popcorn on the way out. I grabbed anything I could. And I was just inhaling food. I think I ate chicken fingers, definitely flatbread pizza, you know, and It was beautiful on the way out. I even shoved my head under the ice cream machine, and they said, sir, that's not an ice cream machine. It's the toilet.
You said, I'll be the judge of that.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, right. Why would a toilet be in the kitchen? Like, you're in the bathroom, sir. A man is making cocky out of his butt.
You're literally, you have your mouth open under some guy's ass?
Yeah. He's like, sir, that's not soft serve. What are you doing?
And this
guy went, shut up, you idiot.
Meanwhile, the guy who's shitting in your mouth, he's so like nervous and taken back that he's not saying anything. He's just kind of looking at he's looking at everyone, eyes darting side to side. Like, yeah, is this okay?
It wasn't. I didn't stop until he started dripping with sweat because those drips fell out, rolled down his face, down on his bare chest because he took his shirt off, I guess, when he was pooing to get comfortable, and slid along his butt cheeks and then into my mouth. And I was like, oh god, that's where I drew the line. I was like, hey, I'm not eating anybody's sweat over here.
And then you slapped his ass like the back of a taxi and said, get out of here, yeah. Airport.
And it was wild because
and he ran to JFK.
Guys, two EMTs took him away in like an ambulance. And I heard he died.
Oh, boy.
I don't know how. I don't think it was related to me slapping his ass, though.
No, I think he got into a car accident.
Yeah. But what? Oh, my gosh. I forgot. When I did slap his ass, he made that baby cry. Remember? He made that, like, literally it sounded like it was a baby in there. Crying after somebody gave birth when the doctor slapped his butt. It was like, and it was like that. And we're like, holy shit. Oh, wait, he didn't die. He has a career in sound effects. He's going to be in the new Police Academy.
Oh, Police Academy 9?
Yeah, he's the baby crier cop. Wow. He's just making noises and stuff like that.
What was that guy's name? Something Winslow?
Michael Winslow.
Michael Winslow. Sorry, Michael Winslow. It's now going to...
Baby ass slap white guy.
Yeah, he's like a one trick pony, but he does it really well.
Speaking of Michael Winslow, in the 90s when I used to go to CD stores, I went to a CD store and I really wanted Michael Winslow's CD, and I asked and asked, and everyone was like, I don't know who that is. I was like, the guy from Police Academy. And apparently he had a sound effect CD that he just made, you know, with his mouth. And I looked for it and looked for it. I don't know if I ever found it, but I remember going there so many times and trying to ask for it, and I can only imagine they're like, what the hell does this guy want? What does he want? He wants... Yeah,
the fact that you said you asked and asked for it. Like, they were probably like, I don't know what you want, kid. And you're like, the Michael Winslow CD. And they said, I want the Michael Winslow CD. Kid, I don't know.
I said, give me it. And then I went to Tower Records and Virgin Megastore. And, I mean, I was looking for it everywhere. And I could never find it. And then when I think about it, what was I even going to do with that CD? Because if it was real sound effects, I could use them for stuff like we edit. But I can't use a sound effect of like, oh, is that a helicopter? Or is that a guy making the noise of a helicopter with his voice? Like, people would catch on to that. That would be cool, though, if Michael Winslow did an entire movie with the sounds of his voice. Like, all the effects I'm saying in the background. Like, you know, it's a dinner scene and he's making the clanging glasses.
Well, yeah. Ding, ding. I would like to see a full movie where all the Foley is just his mouth.
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be awesome. And keep him in the very, like, you know, when it comes on Blu-ray, keep, you know, make an option where we can see him there the whole time in the corner.
You see him in the corner doing the sounds?
Yeah, I want to do that. I want to have that too. So I have the option. Yeah, well, that's my complaint.
Oh, wow.
So I hope I personally hope those movies come out and I don't have to wait until, you know, I feel it's safe enough for something to go to movies. I hope they come out on demand or something or both, just so I can enjoy them. And Ryan, what is your complaints?
Well, after that, I'm not as on fire with mine anymore, so basically I saw a trailer for a new show and let's keep in mind here, I think everyone's allowed to not like something or like something. There's nothing personal about this. And it's also
this time it's not personal.
This time it means nothing. So my complaint is I saw a trailer for this new show. I forget what channel it's on. It doesn't really matter. But, I don't know if you ever saw the movie The Equalizer with Denzel Washington. Did you ever see that?
I did see it. I can't remember what it was about, but I think it was about something about him as a DJ, and he just couldn't stop adjusting the music levels, right?
Yeah.
And he went insane.
Yeah, he loses it because he's such a perfectionist.
That he can't, he's like, I'm the equalizer.
He's like, it'll always be.
Like, who's DJing this? He's like, I leave one song on loop, but I make sure it's well balanced.
And then the sequel was him just in a diner deciding between Splenda and Equal.
Yeah, and he was like, both of these taste like shit.
He goes, why don't people just use sugar? And then he shoots the place up. Anyway, so it was basically like a Jason Bourne kind of type movie where Denzel Washington, as always, just kicks ass. He's just the greatest. But so he's just like this guy.
You say kicks ass or licks ass?
Both.
Oh. Okay.
But did I say, I meant the liquelizer. But
You sure this was Denzel Washington?
He puts the wash in Washington.
Oh,
the
wait, I'm looking it up. That was D. Washington.
But so they made a TV series based on the movie, and not that they were ever going to put Denzel Washington in the show.
Yeah,
but his character was replaced with Queen Latifah.
Oh, I mean that's definitely somebody I would. So I think could swap out with any Denzel Washington role.
Well, that's easily. That's the thing. You could put Denzel in any Queen Latifah movie. He could be in Last Holiday. He could be Bringing Down the House.
Yeah.
You can't put Queen Latifah in The Equalizer. Well, actually, you can because they did, which is fine. But it was just one of those things where I was like, what? Just can't. Like, that is like.
That's an odd casting choice.
It's an odd casting choice, and it seemed like an SNL comedy trailer. I mean, like, that's just the worst cast. That's like, could you imagine just putting like Rip Torn in Rocket Man? They're like, oh, and to play Elton John, we're gonna have Rip Torn.
And what would that sound like?
He's just like, what? Oh, time to play a song. All right. Hold me closer, tiny dancer. Hey, am I going to have sex with a guy yet? It would be like, wait, what? Here I go. And they go, no, Rip, he never said that. It's just a normal thing. Okay, I'm kissing a guy now.
They go, what? Rip, please. Rip, I mean, what Mr. are you doing? John.
Yeah,
call like me John. This will be the last glasses I ever wear.
Yeah, this is the last song you'll ever hear.
And like then he kills everybody in the place after he sings it. He's like, I'm still standing. And that's how he made that song, because he was the only one standing at that point.
Like,
everyone he had killed.
It's just, it absolutely is. It's like putting Rip Torn in any movie that he wasn't cast in.
Yeah, like he's, I would love to see Rip Torn as, if he were still alive, I'd love to see him replace Tom Hanks in Forrest Gump. That would have been a good one.
Bubba Gump Shrimp! Yep, come get it!
And then that's it. I don't know if that was a line in the movie, but it should have been.
It wasn't at all. But no. That's the thing. Is
well,
you
he
put
said
a guy
that life
like that
was
in there,
always like a box of chocolates, right?
Yeah, he'd be like, life is like a bunch of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. Might taste like shit. Might taste like urine.
Yeah.
Never know.
That's like when he goes off the cuff and you go, wow, this guy's genius.
It's Rip. He goes off the cuff.
My favorite would definitely be Rip Torn in Willy Wonka. Any character. I don't care if he's Willy Wonka, if he's the grandfather,
if
Rip
he
Torn, is the kid, you know,
if
imagine,
Rip
Charlie!
Yeah.
Shit, Charlie, shit.
If they would, that's like, if putting Queen Latifah in The Equalizer to replace Denzel Washington is like casting Rip Torn as Charlie and Charlie's grandpa doing dual roles.
Oh,
and he's just like, grandpa, we're going up towards the fan. And his grandpa's like, burp, Charlie, burp. And also Rip Torn plays Willy Wonka. And he's like, you didn't listen. Good day, sir.
and Willy Wonka also, I mean, Rip Torn also plays the fan that they're going to get split into. He's like, he's making a fan noise, and he's up there spinning around.
Like, yeah,
see him.
It's also like if they cast Rip Torn in the movie The Fan, and he played De Niro, and he was like, hey, Wesley, I'm a big fan. Big fan here.
And then he was like, shh, quiet down. You're very loud, Rip. We're at a baseball game. This is too loud, even for a baseball game.
Yeah, it's like putting Queen Latifah in a Denzel Washington equalizer role is like making Rip Torn John Krasinski in The Quiet Place. He's like, everyone be sure to be quiet. If we make a sound, then the monsters will eat us. Got
that
it?
Would be great.
You sure you got it? Keep it down. And then he dies.
He dies within the first minute of the movie.
Yeah, he breathes. He goes, argh.
And then I'm just going to open this door here. Yeah. Better. He's like, well, here I go. Step one, step two. This will be, yeah, and then he's just, because he has to narrate, I guess, everything he does.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, it's just like, I just saw the trailer and was like, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah,
like,
I haven't seen it yet.
Because it's like, she's not a bad actress. She's funny.
No, she's good great actress.
She's great, but like,
just
why?
In that role, doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, because you know it's going to fail. No.
Oh,
there's not going to be a season two of The Equalizer with Queen Latifah.
Not. Definitely not. When they filmed that show, I'm sure that they tore down the set after they finished filming because said, this isn't coming back.
You know what they probably did? They were like casting the movie and they're like, all right, so we got the script for the TV show, The Equalizer. Who's our number one pick? All right, did you call Rip Torn? And they go, he's died. Dead. And they go, fuck. They go, what are we going to do? And they go, I don't know, Queen Latifah? And they're like, man, do it.
Yeah, sure. Who was also supposed to be in Bringing Down the House and set it off? That was supposed to be Rip Torn. Oh, yeah. Well, all right. We'll just stick with Queen then. Hi, Miss Latifah. This is Paramount Pictures. We're thinking of rebooting the movie The Equalizer, and we were hoping that you would be the lead. We wanted Rip Torn, but he was actually dead.
Yeah. We're not going to do an impression of Queen Latifah because
obviously you
get in trouble with that. But I'm sure she was just say, like, all right, I'll do it. She said, okay, I'll do it.
We don't blame Queen Latifah. I would 100%, if I was Queen Latifah, well, she's probably rich enough at this point to retire, but if I was Queen Latifah, I would say, yeah, I'll do it. I don't care.
Yeah, because it's fun. It's clearly, it looks like it was fun to shoot.
Yeah,
but
who cares?
Come on.
But it was just like cast really strange. I think that they should leave it as a movie in general, and that's it. I don't think they should.
If only we could just direct our own movie. I think we could probably put out a better trailer than The Equalizer with Queen Latifah. You
know
what I mean?
For sure. We would do a movie.
Obviously about a cop.
Yeah. Something involving a cop and some attribute. Something where he's like, you know, he's a renegade cop, I guess. You know, he's just a guy who he doesn't play by the books.
Right.
But it's not because he doesn't want to. It's because he literally doesn't know how, and he was hired accidentally. He was switched places with the guy who was supposed to be a cop and the guy who applied. But the guy who was supposed to get the job, he never got the call.
Right.
And this guy got the call, and he thought,
he took
wow.
It. I'll do it.
They chose me, but they really didn't choose him. And
he's got to fake it.
Then you know, but the thing is that, so he's a cop, and he, you know, doesn't know that he's not supposed to be there, and he's unqualified, but he's there. But the thing is that he thinks he's such a good cop, even though he's not supposed to be there, that he, everything pisses him off, and he thinks that it's rightfully said, like, you know, like his badge is too big.
And this is like an 80s, this is a total 80s movie where it's just absolutely ridiculous, but it works out totally fine. Like, if someone did this, they'd be arrested or shot or whatever.
Yeah, no lesson learned either at the end.
Not at all.
And like, he always gets like the babes, like, because back then, you know, it's like it's babes, you know, it's not even a woman or a man. It's like, I'm a dude and she's babe. Like, you know, like nobody, it's only people in the 80s movies are like walking genitals.
And it sounds something like this.
Ronnie Sampson, who's just a grocery store bagger, got the call to be on the force.
Hey, I'm a cop.
And now he's a fish out of water.
Whoops, my bad.
His first assignment is to find the guy who's stealing all the babes' bikinis.
You seen this guy? He's stealing all the babes' bikinis. It's ridiculous.
This fall, he'll remember what it was like to not only bag groceries, but bag the bad guys.
What the fuck are you doing? You weren't supposed to kill him. You're a cop. You're supposed to take him in and custody. We have laws. What are you doing, you sick fuck? You're off the force.
Denzel Washington, Queen Latifah, and introducing Rip Torn.
If you just bag and tag, you could be a cop.
Bag Boy, the cop movie. Badge out of water.
All right, everybody, that's our show. Thank you so much for listening. If you listened this far, boy, was this way too long.
Yes. Wow, what a painful thing we put people through. But if you had a couple laughs, I think you should rate the show, subscribe to us, listen to us each week where we usually interview a guest. This week we're just having a little fun. You can see us at Believe.com. That's BLEAV.com. And Ryan, where else can you find us?
Pretty much wherever you get your podcasts, you know, your Spotify, your Apple Podcasts, your, you know, Stitcher, wherever you want to listen to that stuff, we're there. We're there for you. We're there with you.
Yeah, we're there whether you want us there or not.
And remember, if you don't rate us, you have to date us. It's in the contract that you signed by listening.
That is an agreement. So we will see you on Grindr. Tinder. Linder. Fender? Oh wait, we're both taken. We've been taken by Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want. But if you don't rate us, you'll have to date us.
Liam Neeson was a guy who always loved his daughters being taken.
I love my daughter to be taken.
But this September, his daughter's gonna spend her summer break home with her father.
What do you mean they let you go? It's a one bedroom.
Dad, I want to stay home with you for the summer. I mean, I'm tired of being taken.
I gotta call the local cartel and see if they can take you.
Now this September, he'll find out what it means to be a dad who doesn't have to search for his daughter every time he wants to spend a couple of hours with her.
Why don't we just sit around and tell stories or something?
Dad, I want to make TikToks.
TikTok? Let me give it a go.
Liam Neeson, Queen Latifah, and Rip Torn as the grandfather.
Hey, family bonding time!
TikTok! TikTok, the movie. 3!
God bless everybody.
Right. Bye.